not your fault.
It's a very special schus to be able to address such a chashuva olam of Bnei Torah and Yirei Hashem Yisbarach. I actually am in awe because two of the great Talmidim of, actually more than two, a number of the great Talmidim of the Rav, responsible for participating and helping to make the shiurim happen while they were going on, for decades, disseminating the Torah even ad hayom and in the future. So I will try my best to convey the essence of how I understand and perceive our great Rebbe, hopefully to their satisfaction as well. Many, many years ago, perhaps for some of you, even before your parents were born, I was a little boy attending Rav Soloveitchik, and I'm going to say once, Zichrono Livracha L'Chayei Olam Haba, but it goes for every time that I mention the Rav's name. The Rav gave a shiur in a place called Maria. It was a shul on the Upper West Side. I lived on the Upper West Side, a few blocks away, actually. And every Tuesday night, my father, Zichrono Livracha L'Chayei Olam Haba, would take me, and we would go and listen to the shiur. My father himself was a consummate orator in the Yiddish language only. But that shiur was given in Yiddish. And the respect that my father had, even for the delivery itself, was such. And of course, my father came from the yeshivas in Europe. He learned in Pinsk, in the Nevadika yeshiva, where the Stipler was at the time. He learned in the Mir, was close to the Mir Mashkiach Rav Yerucham. My father was insistent that I should go to the Rav Shir. Haredi family that we were, but he wanted that I should go dafka to the Rav Shir. And so I did. It was Maseches Yevamos. I entered into the shir. We had a little protectia because I was not officially in the institution. And I sat somewhere in the middle, trying to be completely obscured by whoever it was that was sitting in front of me. And frankly, my fear of being called on was so great that I was in a state of total paralysis. My brain was frozen completely, and I knew that the Rav was speaking because I heard this echo in the distance, but that's about it. Weeks went by. I came back to my father, Zichrono Livracha, and I said to him, it's just not going. I'm too scared. I was scared because of the aura and the presence of the Rav, but I was also scared because I heard a lot of stories. And every once in a while, even while I was attending that shiur, I heard somebody being, not necessarily torn apart, but close to it. So I decided that I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back to this year. My father says, there's nothing to talk about. You have to go back. Grow up a little bit. So I said to myself, there's no way that this is going to happen unless I ask the Rav not to call on me. So where should I do that? Now, there were three choices. In the yeshiva, that was probably the worst possible place. Because there, the Zrok Mora B'Talmidim, the Rebbe, the Rav, not a good idea. Boston was the best. There he's a father to his kehila. I'm not going to Boston. It's too far away. Maria. After the shiur, from time to time, the balabatim, that's what they were mostly, balabatim, but Talmid Chachamim, people were quite knowledgeable. The balabatim would come and speak to him. Zebucho v'zebucho, whatever it was, sometimes about the shiur, sometimes about private things. I figure I'll find myself a moment when he's alone, if that's possible, and I'll talk to him then. And guess what? Kachava. I found the Rav miraculously totally alone, waiting for whoever it was to take him back to the yeshiva. Totally alone. So I come over to the Rav and I said, Rebbe, I am in the shir. Yes. So far we're doing great. I'm getting an ulcer. The Rav says, you know, he had the most phenomenal vocabulary, but a terrible accent. So the Rav said, I thought that only happens in my shul. During the weekday, I mean. You have to understand that the Rav had this incredible capacity to extrapolate. So he didn't ever really pay attention to the rest of the sentence. He figured it out for himself. So the Rav immediately responds after I say, I'm getting an ulcer. So what? I have an ulcer too? It does not prevent me from learning. Apparently the Rav figured it all out. I'm coming to tell him that I wasn't a shir, but I'm not coming back to the shir because I'm sick. So why should an ulcer prevent a person from sitting and learning Vasmada Atzuma? So I said to the Rav, no, that's not what I mean. So what do you mean? And the next line, I cannot believe after all these years that I ever said it. What I mean, Rebbe, is that you are giving me an ulcer. What are you talking about? But I saw that there was a glimmer of curiosity, intrigue. What is this little kid all about altogether? So I explained it to him. I said, my father wants very much for me to be in the shir, and so do I. But nothing's happening because I'm so terrified. I can't concentrate, and I'm not hearing the shir. So what can I do? So he's looking at me, and the most beatific, gorgeous smile that ever was on the face of anyone. He looks at me and he says, so what shall we do? And I said to him, well, if Rebbe would promise not to call on me for a couple of weeks, I think I would do just fine. All right, it's a deal. And that was it. The questions were flying to the right of me, to the left of me. The Rav was very much a man of his word in every possible way. A man of incredible integrity. And that's how I ended up being the Rav Shir for approximately 20 years. You know, we just finished the Seder. And I was thinking to myself that it was the most apt expression. Afilu kulonu chachomim, kulonu nivonim. Kulonu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah aleinu l'sapeh v'yitzias Mitzrayim. I have to ask the question, the Rav and the shir that he gave. Who was the Rav? What level was he on? What level were his Talmidim? And that in that question and the answer to that question, you will find the incredible secret of the Rav. The incredible secret of the Rav. You see, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as everyone of course knows, is Lefi Daita Shel Bein Aviv Melamdo. I was thinking to myself, you have a person who's about to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there's a little fellow in front of him. Doesn't understand too much, doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the background, doesn't have the capacity of the father. The father's a massive Talmud Chacham. The father knows every medrash of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He knows every halacha of matzah and maror and the Korban Pesach. And yet, when he has to convey Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to his child, to the person that's sitting in front of him, Lefi Daito Shobein Aviv Melamdo becomes such an incredibly important principle that he has to renegotiate his knowledge, compose his questions, explain his answers and everything with an incredible understanding of where the Talmud is. The Rav was a giant amongst giants. You cannot possibly imagine from anything that you will read about him who he was in learning. You cannot possibly imagine who he was bechlal in intellectual pursuit and intellectual capacity. But the essence of the Rav, as I will talk about later, was his learning, his basic Abaye v'Rava learning, Rambam and Ravid learning. That's who he really was. And that's not because I'm Haredi, and it's not because my chelik of the Rav is in the learning of Torah. That is who he was, and I don't care who else says otherwise. The Rav had unbelievable capacity in language, he had unbelievable capacity in intellectual pursuits of all kinds, not the least of which, of course, philosophy. All kinds of philosophy, not just Jewish philosophy. And the Rav was a leader, the Rav was a person who was a posek, the Rav had impact on communities, the Rav had all kinds of milus, intellectual, emotional, personal, but the essence of the Rav was Torah learning. Real, genuine, yeshivish Torah learning. I have to tell you something. In all those years that I was in the yeshiva, in all those years that I was in the shir in the yeshiva, a good deal of which I was the chozer of the Rav, had opportunity to speak to the Rav, from time to time at least, I never heard in the shir, except on the rarest of occasions which count for nothing, anything but the pshat in the Gemara, the Tosfos, the Rambam, the Milchamis. He never veered off course. He never started engaging in philosophical discussions. He never spoke politics. Never. And very rarely even halacha lemaisa, unless it came out of the Gemara itself, out of the sugya that he was learning. The Rav was the consummate Rosh Yeshiva like any other Rosh Yeshiva, but better. Greater. We had in the shir all kinds of talmidim. But I have to tell you something. I don't know if this is well known or if it's popular. And there's part of me that says maybe I shouldn't even say it. But you know me, I'm going to say it anyhow. The Rav was once at a meeting of all the Rebbeim. And he had to speak about something. What he spoke about, what the context was, is completely irrelevant to us right now. But the Rav said something which astonished me and many of us, and which also we wore as a tremendous badge of honor for the rest of our lives. The Rav said that some years back, a prominent Rosh Yeshiva came over to him, and he said to him, Rav Soloveitchik, he spoke to him in Yiddish. And I'm going to say it in Yiddish, and then I'll translate it, even though it doesn't really need translation. Rav Soloveitchik, Ihr sagt Shiurim azei viel Jochen, weist mir wo seinen eure Talmidim. You're giving Shiur for so many years, show me your Talmidim. And then the Rav added the following critical words, Und be'emes hab ich nicht gehad, was em zu entfachen. I didn't have what to answer. And then he continued to us. Aber jetzt, and he actually spoke in English afterwards, but now, if he would ask me the same question, I would tell him I have many Talmidim. And that was the tkufa that we were in. He had many great Talmidim. Why did the Rav stay in the yeshiva? Imagine a person of that caliber, of that capacity. He could have gone to any yeshiva. He could have opened up his own yeshiva. He could have been anywhere, and he would have been great. If Rav Aaron Kotler could have the best Talmidim of yeshivas, Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef, who then became massive, massive Talmidei Chachamim, under his wing, under his charge, the Rav could certainly have done the same as well. You know why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam and Rav Soloveitchik made a deal. And you know what that deal was? There's this whole world of orthodoxy that's American, call it modern, call it whatever you want. I don't like titles. I look at the Olam here, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Burim, Kulam Gibarim, Kulam Eisen Be'evov Yira Ritzainkai. I don't measure people's tzitzis. And if I would, who knows what I would discover. That's not a mahalach. What I mean to say is that there were people who simply didn't know what Torah was b'chlal. There were people who grew up in a desert where there weren't any oases. There was no oasis of Torah. The understanding of the level of Torah and what Torah was a rabbi's speech on Shabbos, which spoke as much about the Yankees and the Dodgers as about Abaye and Rava. They never mentioned Abaye and Rava because there was no one that was interested. And there was a whole world that was ready literally to go down the tubes, literally to be flushed away because of the vagaries of time, because of the peculiarities of the American scene, because of the tremendous power of the conservative movement, and on and on and on. I tell you, if the Rav would not have sacrificed speaking to people who really didn't fully understand him and insisting on remaining in this institution for years, maybe decades, before he could finally have produced, because of the Sheiris HaPleita that came and their children had an understanding that there was such a thing called Torah in Europe. And these were the children who grew up in America, but they were the children of survivors. And they were coming to the Rav. And the Rav now had someone to talk to. Parents who were Talmidei Chachamim sent their children. Parents who understood that there's such a thing called Godless V'Torah sent their children. All right, they wanted them to have an education as well. But for the first time, the Rav had whom to talk to. Yes, now he says, I would be able to tell him, these are my Talmidim. If the Rav would not have been here and would not have stood at the forefront and would not have fought the battle royal in so many ways, no one knows where Yeshiva University would have gone. No one. No one knows where modern Orthodoxy would have been. And I guarantee you, kemat, that almost none of you would be here today. I don't know where you would be, but I don't know that you would be here today. That was an unbelievable thing. Kulonu chachomim, kulonu nevonim, kulonu yodim es haTorah. But the mitzvah l'sape b'yitzias Mitzrayim is l'fi daito shobein oviv melamdo. But it goes one step further. So good, he had great talmidim. I have to tell you what happens in a shir. The Rav, his preparation is incredible. His mastery of the sugya is unparalleled. Talmidim are talmidim. We're wet behind the ears. We're just struggling. We're just beginning. We're nowhere near his level of godliness. We're nowhere near his level of capacity. You know what he did for us? You know what his kayach was in the mitzvah l'sapeh b'yitzias Mitzrayim image in the Fidaita Shobein Oviv Melamdo? He convinced us that we could become great Talmidei Chachamim. In every single shir, he gave us the understanding, which frankly was a fraud. He defrauded us. He loved the Talmidim so much that he was convinced that he needs to give them the gaiva of being a big ben Torah, of being able to do what he does, maybe not quite as well, but we can do what he does in the sugya. And he lulled us into thinking that we were really something. It's an unbelievable kayach. An unbelievable kayach. So when he gave the shir, he didn't start out with this is the problem, this is the answer, you got it? No. He opens up the Gemara and he makes believe that he doesn't understand the Gemara at all. He had the Kasha, he had the Teretz. Certain sugyas he had gone through with his father 10 times over. Certain sugyas he knew better than us when he was 8 years old. You know, he hung up a sign, that's what he once told me, that he hung up a sign in one of the shtiblach in Warsaw, like a gunslinger, you know, in the OK Corral. I'm in town. Come and talk and learning. It's unbelievable. But you understand where he was at that time already, a level of learning that we will never achieve. And yet he convinced us, foolish enough to want to believe, but he convinced us that we were learning the sugya together. We were learning the sugya afresh. We had just prepared enough to be able to hang on, and so did he. And we were figuring it out. And we were helping him. So, Reichman, what do you say? I heard that many, many times. Many, many times. And he would say, all right, let's begin. And we began together. Unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. It's not pedagogy. It is pedagogy, of course, but it's far beyond pedagogy. It's avas ha-Torah, avas ha-Talmidim, it's avas Yisrael. You know what it really is? It's achrayas. The Rav was a phenomenal Baal achrayas. He knew that what he can do, no one else can do. And he knew that he can do it with Talmidim that maybe wouldn't be anywhere else. And when he had Talmidim that could be called Talmidim and that wanted to sit and learn Yom V'Layla and that really wanted to understand the Sugya and really appreciate the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, the ones who came out exhilarated that now for the first time they understand, for them he had a tremendous achrayus that I have to make that happen for them. I have to convince them that this is the life worth living. This is the Torah that's given by Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, and this is the Torah that we are learning now, and it's so beautiful. You know, the Rav used to quote the Rambam in the 10th Perek of Hilchos Tshuva over and over and over again, whenever he had an opportunity, when it was relevant. Not when he was learning Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, but times of Ben Kesel also between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and at other occasions. And as he wrote when in the famous hesped for his uncle, the Briska Rav, Madod Eich Midod, he said that Reb Chaim and his father and the Briska Rav, and of course he could never say, and I, but we can say that, because he belongs to that cheder, that their feeling for Torah was the way the Rambam describes Avoda Me'ava. That kol shir hashirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh. The Rambam says, you know what it's all about? Like avas ish le'isha, that he can't stop thinking about it for a moment. Can't stop thinking about it for a moment. He cannot leave her. He walks and he eats and he sleeps. He may even apologize to a telephone pole because he thinks there's a person there because his mind is completely absorbed in Torah. I have to tell you an interesting episode that happened with me. During Shir, there was a fight, an argument between the Rav and one of his Talmidim. It happened to be Rabbi Genak. So Zayn Gesundtum Shtag. Rabbi Menachem Genak. Rabbi Genak offered a teretz. The Rav didn't like it. The Rav offered his teretz. They started fighting about it. And Rabbi Genak tried to offer his reasoning. And finally the Rav succumbed. He says, yes, you are right. And that was the end of the shir. I mean, the shir continued and it ended. I had reason the next morning to visit the Rav's apartment, benogeya, whatever inyan. The Rav opens the door. I knock on the door. The Rav opens the door himself. Sometimes there was somebody that was helping him, taking care of him. The Rav opened the door himself. Whatever he was thinking about, it took him a few seconds to focus who was in front of him on the other side of the door. But when he finally realized that I was there, you know what he said? I was right! Now from that you learn, like the Gemara says, Shloisha Dvarim. Shma Minot Las. The first thing you learn is that the Rav, when he saw me, assumed that I was thinking about this problem all night also. The second thing you learn, of course, is, or maybe that's the first, that the Rav never let go of this inyan all night. And the third thing that you learn is, or that you can extrapolate, is that this was not an isolated incident. You see, Rabbi Isai, the Rav was a cheftza of Torah. He thought of it, he breathed it, he lived it. If you cut his arteries, as they once said about Rav Shach, Zichrono Livracha, blood wouldn't come out. Rambams and Raifetz would come out. But we have the proof. We have the proof. One of the great Rebbeim, you should have a Refuah Shleima, he's not well, but one of the great Rebbeim, Reb Abba Braunspiegel, he once was allowed to enter into the Rav's room after the Rav was sick and basically was not able to communicate with anyone. I don't know if he recognized anybody, except maybe his own family, maybe. But he was allowed to come to be Mevakeh Chayim. He walked into the room. I don't know that the Rav recognized that he was there, or even noticed that someone was standing there. But what he heard, the Rav, whose mind was lost somewhere, was saying, "The Rambam says," and he started quoting the Rambam verbatim. You understand? Because that's what remained after everything else was gone. So that was what we were connected to for all those years. And the Rav made us feel that we could be like that as well. The Rav made us feel that we could be little miniature Ravs. That we could not only get the Derech, but we could learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Not only learn Kol HaTorah Kula, but live and breathe Torah as well. In his incredible anivus, the Rav also believed that meanwhile we could also get a PhD. I'm not so sure that that's possible. Unless you're on mamish a certain level, or you don't take your PhD so seriously. But if you meet it afanemis, it's not so pashut. Because there's a vast Torah. And it's not just the quantity, it's not just the lumdus, it's that Torah is, you know how he described it in the same Madoy Dechmidoy, there's Erisin and Nisuin. He says many Talmid HaChomim are the Madrega of Erisin with the Torah. Reb Chaim Brisker was in the Madrega of Nisuin. You know, Erisin, you got to do all kinds of things, turn a lot of somersaults, give a lot of presents, and you're never really together. Nisuin is the exact opposite. You're so intimate that you don't have to even say a word. Ishtay kegufay, baal ki ishtay. That's what the Rav was, and that's what the Rav represents. And it's not only just what the Rav will mean to me. And therefore, although I don't quote the Rav in learning that much, because I'm trying to give over the Talmidim a derech in the learning itself, but there isn't anything that comes out of my mouth kemat, whether it's in my shul, or in my shiurim and mishlei, or in the shiurim that I give, or the way that I speak, that isn't informed by having been a Talmid of the Rav. Not one thing. It's like Chazal say that even if I don't quote his name, but you take it for granted that everything comes from him. I wanted to add something else. Do you have a siddur? Any siddur will do. As long as it has Pirkei Avos. Yes? So. Yes. Perfect. The Rav's Midos were beyond compare. They were so extraordinary. And that's a part that many people are not fully aware of. I wanted to share with you a thought that actually I heard from someone who was quoting the Satmar Rav. somebody came to the Satmar Rav, and he said that he's a Rav of a shul, he has a keel, he has a base medrash, I don't know, whatever. And his mispalim make him a lot of tzaras. Ad kedei kach, that they gather when he's on his way into the shul, and he comes out of the shul, and they mock him, and they scoff at him, and they make his life miserable. And he's very upset. The Satmar Rav said to him, bring me a Pirkei Avos. He opened up to the sixth perek, which is really the perek that's a braisa, but it's attached to the five prakim of Avos in the Mishnah. And it begins, after Shonu Chacham B'Lashon HaMishnah, Reb Meir Oimer, Kol Oisek Batayru Lishma Zoyche Lidvarim Harbe, V'lo Yoid, Ela Shekol Ha'olam Kulo Kedai Hulo, Nikra Reya, Oeves HaMokom, Oeves HaBrios, and on and on and on. Person who learns Torah Lishma is meriting that he should be called all of these incredible titles. That's how much people respect him. That's how much people love him. He's Mesameach Es HaMakom. He's Mesameach Es HaBriyos. Malbashtoy Anova Yira Machsharto Liyos Tzadik Chosid Yosher VeNemon Merachakto Min Achet Mekarvaso Lideschus Nenin Mimenu Eitz VeSushia. Just keeps going on and on. What comes at the end? You know what Moichel al Elboinai means? You know what Elboin is? Aluva, Oluv. It's a person who's hurt, whose feelings are hurt. A person who feels that you touched him in the worst place. You hurt him so badly. You hurt him with words. You hurt him with maisim. And he's a Moichel al Elboinai. He forgives. He forgets. Why, says the Satmar Rav, is this at the end of the list? He says, because you learn Torah Lishma and you have all of these madregas, and ulai, kulei hai v'ulai, you will be zoiche to the madrega of Moichel al Elboinai. People are hurt. Their feelings are hurt. They remember. They feel terrible. And even if they don't return, even if they're oisem me'ava, even if they're smeichem b'yisurin, but they remember the hurt. You know how many times the Rav was hurt in one way or another? The Rav was in a very vulnerable position. I'm not going to go into it, certainly not in front of young people who deserve to be optimistic about life. It'll sink in what I just said, don't worry. But you know, you don't have to know everything about life. You'll find out soon enough. But the point is that the Rav was hurt many, many times. You never saw a person that returned a wrong with a favor like the Rav. You never saw a person that the same people that maligned him in one way or another would come to him and ask him to speak to a certain gvir on their behalf or on behalf of their institution. And the Rav would jump to do it with a fervor, with an enthusiasm. The Mishalim Toiva Tachas Rav of the Rav knows no parallel. No parallel, not that I know of. And you know, I was thinking about it. It's really Toli Zeh B'Zeh. Because the moment that you're pure Torah, it has to be like that. Because that's exactly what Reb Meir was saying. Kol Aloime Torah Lishma Zoicha Ledvarim Harbe. There's no greater loymet Torah Lishma. There was no greater zoich l'dvarim harbe. The Rav's anivus. The Rav could have wiped the floor with anybody. With anybody. It wouldn't take more than 5 minutes of turning and twisting him like on a spit, a rotisserie. That was the Rav's capacity in time. And he was in, you know, he used to yell at Talmidim. You know, that there was one year that somebody walked into the room, a guest, and he saw something very strange. He saw that all the chairs were lined up on an angle and the rest of the room was empty. And he couldn't understand it. So someone was masbid him, sit down at the desk. The Rav isn't here yet. So he sits down at the desk. He says, what do you see? He says, I see nothing. All the chairs are blocked by the column. And that was it. Remember the time that the Rav used to have a roster of Talmidim. He didn't know every single Talmud. They had a roster of Talmidim. And he used to read the roster and ask the Talmidim to read. Read the Gemara. That was also interesting. He's telling the Talmud to read the Gemara. So the Talmud was called upon, let's call him Goldberg. Goldberg reads the Gemara. He's looking at the roster, he sees Goldberg. Goldberg reads the Gemara. Goldberg is not prepared. And in any case, he doesn't want to read the Gemara, because he never knows what's going to happen. You know the Maisa with Rabbi Maimon from Seattle. He's already in his deep 90s. Zayin Gesund. He came from Turkey. And he settled in Seattle. And they sent, his father sent him to the Rav to learn. A long, long time ago. Comes into the shir, doesn't know a word of Yiddish. He struggles, he learns. The shir was in Yiddish at that time. All right. And yeah, one day he calls on him to read the Gemara and to translate. And he says, Maimon, you are, he said it in Yiddish. Delays, but I'll say it in English. You are reading like a Turk. That's a Yiddish expression. You know, like a Chinaman, you know. So he says to him, I am a Turk. He says, what are you talking about? Anyhow, they became the best of friends. He loved Maimon. And he has so many stories about the Rav. He became a big Talmud Chacham. Even in those days. Where are your Talmud? Goldberg is sitting there, and he's scared out of his wits. So he figured it out. Goldberg is not here today. So you think the Rav didn't chap what's going on? All right, so you read the Gemara. But you see, that was veneer. That was just veneer. Zroik mara v'talmidim. He would go out of his way for a Talmud. You cannot imagine. And if he understood that he was somebody that had a great need, was a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. It's very important to make this point. You know, this intellectual giant. In Yiddishkeit, an intellectual giant, the same that he said, it's all heart. It's not just mayach, it's lev. And lev ends up, hevei tzanua ve'erech ruach u'mochel al elbono. And finally, the last words of Reb Meir in this brisa, umegadalto umeromamto al kol ha'maase. It's a very interesting expression, umegadalto al kol ha'maase. The Rav went through all sorts of experiences, here in Boston especially. He always rose above all those moments. There was not a fiber of pettiness in his being. Not a molecule of smallness, of being little. The Rav was great. Megadalto umeromamto al kol ha'maasim. So the Mesiras Nefesh of the Rav to remain in YU turned into a Mesiras Nefesh of the Rav with wonderful Talmidim to make them think that they could do what he did. But really, the Rav was those kulanu chachomim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim es ha-toyra. The Rav once spoke about chachma, bina, and das. Chachomim, chachma, nevoinim, bina, I don't know if you ever noticed it. Yodim es ha-toyra, das. Chachma, bina, and das. The Rav once said that chachma is that initial flash of brilliance, that insight that comes from nowhere, that eureka moment. Bina is when you take that flash before it peters out and you start giving it a construction so that it has substance, that it has parts, that it has context. You start using it to explain things. And das, he said, was the practical application of all of this. He always used to point out that some people can talk about the glory of Shabbos, but their own Shabbos leaves a lot to be desired. There are some people that can't talk about Shabbos at all, but their Shabbos is somehow princely, something really special. And so too with all the mitzvahs, das. The Rav once told me, Chochmah, I have no problem. I have ideas galore. But I want you to know, Aaron, he says to me, that I harve, I work hard. When we were together, very often he spoke Yiddish, half English. Depends how I started. He says, I want you to know that I struggle mightily in the Bina to prepare and to refine and to make that construction happen. He says, for me, it is very, very difficult to do. So I asked him why. He says, because the Chochmah interferes with the Bina. And the mind is flashing in so many directions at once. It's very hard to focus and to concentrate and to start to build the building. He says, but without that building, there is no Torah. There's no Havana. You can say whatever you want about the Rambam. Prove it. How does that idea fit into all those other Rambams? How does that idea explain the Ravid over there? What is the machlokes therefore between the Rambam and Rashi on that particular Nakuda and the Sugya? For that you need Bina. He says, you have no idea how hard I toil before I come up with that darga which is called Bina. A remarkable thing. Everybody would think that the way he walked in, they started talking, that it's all kesimla, it's all there in front of him. The Rav's Yegiya Batayra. And that's important for the Talmidim, because you're not going to be the Rav. But you have to know that the particulars, the specific Mahalchim in Torah, the Yegiya Batayra, the Rav was perpetually, I'm saying now symbolically, putting his feet in cold water to stay awake, to be able to understand a little bit better. The Rav was constantly swathing his head so that his head doesn't burst with the ideas that he was learning. In that respect, they go back to someone like the Vilna Gaon to be able to understand that madrega of Yegiyas HaTorah. And I want to conclude, because I can't stay here with you all night. It's not fair. But I want to conclude with something. Remember I told you that the Rav made us feel, he fooled us into thinking that we could be little miniature Ravs. I tell you one of the ways that he did this. The Rav had a prodigious memory, a phenomenal zikaron, phenomenal, not stam. And it was a unique kind of zikaron. The Rav used to always talk about the zikaron of the Ramban. What was the zikaron of the Ramban? So a lot of people can remember where things are and can quote things verbatim. But to remember in a way that you could connect things in disparate places, that's a different kind of zikaron. I used to talk about it from time to time. The zikaron of the Ramban. Anyhow, the Rav once told me that when he was a child and they were trying to figure out who's going to have the genes of Reb Chaim, his grandfather, which of the children? You know, these are questions that everybody asks. Who's he like? So he said to me, about me, they said, I have Reb Chaim Zikaron. Pile ployin. So I said, who has Reb Chaim's analytic brilliance? My brother Shmuel. Such a fascinating thing. His brother Shmuel. The Rav had a phenomenal Zikaron, and his analytic capacity was beyond brilliant. But you see, it's an amazing thing. When someone has a Zikaron, two things are in danger. A, Yegiya Batayra. Because you know it all. You know it already. You've seen it in a sefer somewhere. Why the Yegiya? Why the Hasmada? I learned it once. Rav Sternbuch, in one of his tshuvas, he writes that he heard from a zaken who heard from the Chafetz Chaim that if a person does not chazer something over four times, then his learning itself is not called Talmud Torah. He's not in the kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a really astonishing thing to say, and it's really quite scary. Because it means you didn't learn it. And everybody knows that in Torah Shebichsav, if you just read it, it's Yemekayim a mitzvah, but in Torah Shebaalpeh, you have to understand. He says you don't understand before four times. Rav Yashiv said it a little bit differently. Rav Yashiv says, no one knows if he has a zikaron or not, unless he learned something at least four times. Then if you don't remember it, then you don't have such a great zikaron. Rav Steinbruch brought a beautiful raya to the Chofetz Chaim. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Agra de Kala Duchka, that the people who came to the Yarchi Kala, who came to hear these great Amoraim and give their Torah, they get schar, but they don't get schar for Talmud Torah, they get schar for Duchka, for the effort that they made, for pushing and shoving to get into the Shir. So we would expect that Rashi would explain because they don't understand what he's talking about. So there's no limud haTorah. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, because they don't remember after they leave. Amazing Rashi. So you see, what do you mean? So let them get the schar, at least b'shas ma'isa, they understood. So they were learning. Because das heist nicht gelernt. That's not called learning. That's his raya. It's rather very interesting raya. The Rav was the masmid otzum. The Rav was the yogeya batayra, as if he couldn't remember a single word, even though he remembered it all. But above all else, Rabbi Yisai, he never quoted the Gemara's daf. He never quoted. Once in a while, he would just simply rattle off the Rambam because he was too impatient to open up the Rambam. But he never made us feel that he knows it all and you don't know anything and Memela, it's a waste of time to even bother with you. You know, in that respect, the Brisker Rav never quoted Plat Gemaras either, even though he knew it cold. He told once a Maisa that somebody said it's on this and this daf. He says, no, it's not. And then he tried, and of course he was right, and then he chided the fellow, why do you have to quote daf numbers? What is that all about? The Rav knew it all, understood it better than anybody else, and gave us little people, lulled us into thinking, fooled us into thinking, defrauded us into thinking, loved us so much that he wanted us to think that we could do it too. Yehi Zichro Baruch.